Happy Wednesday, beautiful people. It's the middle of the week and it's a rainy day. I'm telling you, a gray rainy day is like a sedative, I must say. But I'm up and I'm ready to rock and roll. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. I've got a guest up first thing this morning, and I'm delighted to have her come on. Her name is I am just botching this up a little bit. Her name is Sonia De Los Santos, and she's coming to the Schwartzman Center. Let me tell you something. What I love about the Schwartzman Center is that I get to see some of the most interesting, thought-provoking, artistic opportunities of expression. Like, I just get to see people that, you know, you just sort of read about. They bring them. So I'm just going to follow, keep following them and keep begging them to let people come on my show. Because I love all these folks. I love them. And so I'm looking forward to Sonia coming on. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Because she is a Grammy nominated Latina artist, and she is really, really something. So she is going to be at the Schwartzman Center on Saturday at 3 p.m. And she's a Latin Grammy nominee. She has an all-female band called Musica. And it's and you know, she does a bilingual concert, which is really cool. Celebrating women in music who inspire them. So I'm looking forward to having her come on and talk about her musical journey. So she's called one of Latin children's music artists you should know by Billboard. De Los Santos has performed at Carnegie Hall, Lincoln Center, Lollapalooza, the Getty Museum, the National Gallery of Art, and a whole bunch of other venues and festivals. So she premiered Musica in New York City during Women's History Month this past March, charting a joyful journey of Latin American rhythms ranging from festejo, and to cumbia, to traditional Mexican folk. And so her performance includes music from her albums, Mi Viaja de Nuevo León to the New York Island, Alegría, and Esperanza. So she was born in Mexico with a smile on her face. Her songs are inspired by various Latin American rhythms, huapango, cumbia, salsa, festejo, as well as the North American folk traditions. So so she has been dedicated to performing family music since 2007. So I'm looking forward to talking to her so she can tell me what family music is. And there she is. buenos dias.
Hi, buenos dias. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to my show. I'm so delighted to talk to you because you have a all-woman band. You do bilingual concerts. You're Latin Grammy nominated. And you are family friendly. Like, kids like you. Like, they listen to you. So tell me about family music. What is family music, Sonia?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for inviting me to your show and for giving me this opportunity to talk a little bit more about this. Not just about me. I'm not the only person doing family music, but there's a few of us out there. The idea, you know, there's children's music, right?
Okay.
Children's songs. Songs that talk about more of the children's experiences, that's all great. And then what I try to do is something called family music, where there's a little bit in the music for everyone in the family, right?
Okay.
So
okay.
It is family friendly, it's children appropriate, right? There's no themes that are not appropriate for children to listen to or sing along to. But at the same time, they're a little bit more universal, and there's a little bit for everyone in the house. So it's something that children and grandparents and adults and everyone can listen to and hopefully have a shared experience that that will be good for everyone. That's what we do.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, how did you come to music, Sonia? Were you a kid playing music? How did you come to it? And what did you start with?
Yeah, well, with my voice, I grew up singing, not professionally, but my mom loves to sing. She never did it professionally, but my mom, my grandma, one of my uncles. So at home, we would sing all the time, just casually and after dinner, and very bohemian family. So I was exposed to music from early on, and then I decided during high school and college that I wanted to study a little bit of singing. So I did that. I did musical theater in high school and college. And then I moved to New York, wanting to study musical theater. I did that for like a couple of months only, did like a summer workshop after studying college in Mexico. And then I landed on a I auditioned for a lot of things, and I landed on a band who called Dan Zanes and Friends back in 2007, and they were right at the top, playing family folk music, and I was the only Latina in the band, and then I started kind of getting a sense of what it was here in the United States. I didn't grow up with family music. There was only children's music and adult music. And I learned a lot there, and that's kind of where I got the idea of making a project of my own, but more rooted in Latin American music and rhythms. And that's what I've been doing for the last years.
Wow. So who influences you? Like, who do you listen to? Who do you like?
Oh, all kinds of people. I grew up to like traditional Mexican music and boleros, and also, Mariah Carey and everyone in the 90s. Actually, I think I learned English through music a lot. I did study English, but also listening to music in English was a very big influence, and also it taught me a lot. I have my people. I listened to a little bit of everything, but obviously, like from here, all the folk icons, Joan Baez, Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, these are all people
Wow.
that I like to listen to. And then, Mexican folk music groups, Latin American music. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
So tell me about this, the girl, the girl band that you created, and why a girl band?
Well, I've been playing with a band for, since the release of my first album, 2015. And I've been playing all over the country with a band. There's always been at least one woman in the band, my friend Elena Moon Park. But then over the years, I started meeting more people, right? I started the band, and whoever was around, I called in. But then I started kind of being more intentional about connecting with other female musicians, and all of a sudden, I realized I almost had like an entire band of women. There's just like one position that where we didn't have a woman, and then there was this opportunity to a theater in New York City called the New Victory Theater, which is a theater that's dedicated to family-friendly content and shows. Reached out, and they were like, "Sonia, what do you want to do? come back next year." And I was like, "You know what? I want to celebrate music. I want to celebrate, but I want to celebrate women in music. I want to highlight all of the stories of the women who are around me, and really make it a point to, get it's just I feel like it's kind of up to us. We've done a come a long way, having music, female musicians represented, but I think we're a long way to go. There's a long way to go, and it was, March, Women's History Month, and it was a great excuse. But now we're beyond that. That was my plan. Okay, we're coming up with this show in March, telling these stories. But then, I wonder if people will hire us to go play when it's March, right? Which is the whole point. And I'm so glad Yale University is doing that. So. Yeah, we're so thrilled to bring this project to New Haven.
So I feel like, Sonia, you're old enough to know something about how difficult it is for women in entertainment and women in general, but specifically women in music. Have you experienced the pushback on what you do, or is family music and folk music left to men to do, or do women have opportunity to grow in this medium?
There are opportunities, more and more. I feel like there are have to, I feel like as a woman and as a woman of color, I've had to work really hard, really hard. And some places are wonderful and they're very welcoming. And then some other places that you go to, or some people that are in the industry, also, they want to check a diversity box and like hire you be because of that, which feels, and they kind of let you know about it sometimes. They're like, it's a mixed bag. I feel very lucky because although there are some hard times, I have an incredible team around me, our booking agent, people who I make music with, press, everything that. Who really get what I do and why I do it, and try to present the story in a way that people are like, okay, let's give this person a chance, let's give her a voice. So I'm really lucky, but as it's hard, it's tough out there. We're doing what we can to break stereotypes. We're doing what we can to present real women with real instruments telling their stories, and make it family friendly, right? And just hopefully give an example for the generations to come to, so they know that this is possible. What we're doing is possible.
And so in doing this type of music, does it allow you to have a political voice? Do you entertain a political voice? Do you take a stand on something? Do you is it liberation music too? Like, what do you have opportunity to take on the issues of the day?
I think I do. I think just by existing and being out there, the messages in our songs, I don't necessarily get, I'm not an expert in politics. I'm also an immigrant in this country, although I'm a US citizen now. I have dual citizenship. Yeah, I think it's a
Congratulations,
long
because
time.
I know that was not an easy walk, because
Oh no. Oh no. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But it is by choice that I'm here. And so I feel like just by being and writing from this perspective and just being in the world, with this voice, it's a political act. And so, yeah, I do take an opportunity to just to share messages of inclusiveness, of hope, of joy, of tolerance, of listening to one another, of music as a vehicle for healing and for uniting. So that's there. Definitely, it's there.
And so now, do you write your own songs too? Like, are you writing music? I mean, I know you're probably trying to carry the culture forward and the songs from your grandparents and great grandparents, but do you get a chance to like write music like now?
I do. I write my own songs. I write and produce my own songs. Actually, this show Musica, it's all original songs. It's all original songs. I've written music and lyrics and arrangements, with other people around me too, but it's all original. It's all with my filter and my idea of what family-friendly music sounds like in the 21st century during this time. So trying to use as much as I can from my own culture and what I grew up with, but also everything that I've learned here. It's kind of like a mixed thing where I like marrying the traditions of Latin American folk music with also with North American traditions here. And I have some songs, they're not in the show, but there are some songs like I have translated and adapted some classics from Pete Seeger and Woody Guthrie and Albert Brumley, and like I'll Fly Away or If I Had a Hammer, or I love those songs too. I didn't grow up with them, but then I learned to appreciate them, and they become part of my catalog in Spanish or bilingual. So trying to contribute there also a little bit, just for people to listen to these songs from another perspective, and be welcoming about it.
Now, all the artists that I know, are artists in a couple of different mediums. So if you're a singer-songwriter, what other artistic expression do you do?
I'm an actor. Yeah, I'm an actor. I do quite a lot of voiceover work. I used to do more in camera work. I really started focusing on music, so it's really my main focus, but I get to act every once in a while, and I really enjoy it.
Wow. Because I know artists are never just one dimensional. They are always several different things going on. You know, if you're a singer, you might be a musician as well, like play an instrument, or if you're a songwriter, you're an actor. I mean, this is all those things. So are you always writing songs? Are you one of those people that hear music and inspiration everywhere you go?
Yeah, sometimes I'm not just writing, but I'm observing. I'm trying to be present as much as I can. And then one day I was like, I was like, oh yeah, that thing I saw. Now I know how I can, translate it into a song, and I sit down and write. And a lot of my songs have come from, I feel like my own experiences, in childhood, growing up. I try to think. I don't have children, but I do have children around me all the time. But I try to imagine what I was curious about when I was five, six, seven, eight. What my questions were, what made me excited, what made me curious, or just things that I thought they were fun. And I try to write with that. Also, just what's happening in the world and my own experiences. But in a way that I feel I try to not write just for me, but like also just to see how people can connect also to that. And that's just the hope, right? Like we write and we don't know how things are gonna land. But especially with the my immigrant story, I've learned that people connect to it, even though it's not their, sometimes their own experience. It helps them understand a little bit better of, people around them. So I feel like that's something that I can bring to the table.
And so when did you come to the US? When did you come? And are your is your family here too?
No, I came by myself.
What?
Around 2005, I came first to study. Next year, yeah, I'm 19 years, 19 years, yes.
Wow.
And I know I came by myself. My family is all in Mexico, and I visit them. They visit me, so we are able to do that. But yeah, I love it here. I really like the opportunity that New York and the US has given me, and they really it's been wonderful. And also just to represent a little bit about my culture. And I feel like I've connected more to Mexican culture here, just trying to, draw from there so I can share with other people, which is something that works in mysterious ways. I went back and taking lessons for instruments that I didn't know how to play, and it never ends. We keep learning.
Now, do you live in New York now? Do you live in New York?
I live in New Jersey. I live
Oh,
pretty
okay.
close to New York City. I live in the New York City area. I live in a city called Weehawken, which is
I know it.
right across the Hudson River. So very
So,
close.
all right. So you get to be here in on the East Coast. You're playing music, you're booking gigs for your band, right? Like you're starting to that's starting to open up. And so, what else do you do?
I work with another program which is music related, but it's more with a social, it has a social impact program. I work with Carnegie Hall as a teaching artist, and it's
I
one
knew there was something else that you were doing.
of
That's why I asked, because I was like, I know artists, they never do just one, they never do one thing. They do a couple of
Yeah.
interconnected things.
It's related to music, which is why I love it, but it's very connected to the community. So there's a beautiful project, you can look it up. It's called the Lullaby Project.
Oh.
I've been a part of it for 7 years, I think. And it's a project where we go into different places as teaching artists, hospitals, schools, even detention centers, so just all kinds of places, temporary housing, and offer families, expecting mothers or mothers with little children, to write songs for their babies and for their families. So I go in and say, "Hi, I'm Sonia. Do you want to write a song today with me for your baby?" And so that keeps me very connected to songwriting, to people, to the experience of music and music making with families, hopefully inspiring people just to have more music in their lives. And this show, Musica, it's kind of about that too, right? Because we share our stories, and yeah, we want to be musicians, and here we are, and it's all great. But what do you want to be? What do you don't have to be a musician, So hopefully, seeing our show just inspires people in general to have more music in their lives. So I feel like at the end of it, that's kind of what I want to do, just like encourage people to be more musical. So whether I'm performing this show with a band on stage, fancy lights and everything, or I'm working at a hospital saying, "Hi, I'm Sonia. Do you want to write a song with me today?" I feel at the end of it, that's just what I want to do.
I would imagine, Sonia, it's quite empowering for Latina folks, folks of Latin descent, Hispanic descent, to see you and to hear you, know that you speak two languages. Like that have to be comforting on some level.
Yeah, well, I'm really lucky to be able to communicate it in two languages. I work on it every day. Sometimes are better than some days are better than others, I'll say. Sometimes they're like, what am I trying to say, translating? But yeah, speaking another language, and it opens up so many possibilities, like you start seeing just you can learn so much about people, and you can it just opens a lot of doors. And part of the reason why I work with this program is because I can do that in English or in Spanish. So I walk up to people and say, "It could be in English, it could be in Spanish, it could be both. What do you want to do?" They're like, "Okay, well, this or that." So I'm very lucky. I'm very, very lucky to be able to have music in my life in this way. And who knows what's gonna happen?
Tell me about being nominated for a Latin Grammy.
Yeah, well, that happened back in 2019. We put out an album called Alegría in 2018, and it got a nomination. It was great that we went to the Grammys for the
Did you
Latin.
dress up? I'm sure you dressed up.
I did dress up. I was very lucky to have a couple designers let me borrow their dresses, which was incredible. I don't have them to give them back, but it was really wonderful. Of course, the nomination, it's good. It's a recognition from peers, and it's all great, and it opens a lot of
I was going
doors.
to ask you, does it help to open some doors? Like, does it help
Yes.
to get you into places that you might not have be considered for?
It's so funny because it's I've yeah I mean it does it did in my case it did I feel like at the end of it the end of the day, people are going to want to book you or not if they like what you're doing or not. Like, even if you win a Grammy, or I didn't win, I was just nominated, but even if you win, I know a lot of people who like are struggling also to get out there because, I don't know, luck, or they're not ready to tour, or they can't, or I don't know. So it's mysterious. And then some people have never been nominated. They don't care about awards, and they're like best selling ever and like millions of followers. And so who knows? I think it's something that helps. It's nice to be recognized. But it's not everything that matters, for sure. It's really not. It's really not. And so for me, it was great. We had a whole after a nomination, we had a whole year planned out for 2020. And 2021, of course, none of that happened. But yeah, but we're still here.
I mean, so do you think you'll, I mean, how often do you put out new music, a new album, like a curated album?
I've done it every 3 years, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. I did something different last year where I put out a holiday EP in December. We're at the end of, early December last year, so that broke it up a little bit. I have three full-length family albums put out in 2015, 2018, and 2021.
So you do.
And then some singles, and I'm working on a new album. Obviously, this show has given me a great excuse to write new music. So there are some songs from our last albums, and there are new songs in this show that are not recorded, and that after the shows, everyone's like, I can't find the Pat song or this song. Like, they're not out there. So people who come to the show will get a treat on a preview of our music that hopefully will be released soon.
So now that we're post-pandemic, sort of, kind of, I mean, we're still in a pandemic, I guess, but are you touring? Is this hitting, coming to the Schwarzman on May 11th, because that's when you're going to be here. Is that the beginning of a tour? Is that in the tour schedule? Where are you touring?
I'm touring a lot. I am booked now. I have dates until next March, I think, for my
Whoa.
tour. Yeah, I am. But the way we tour with family music or just like it, the way I do it, we don't go out for long periods of time. A lot of we play mostly in performing arts centers, like universities or
Okay.
just performing arts centers. We also do residencies in schools, so we can go be in a theater and kids come to the theaters, or we go to schools from school to school, working with a particular presenter. So we go out, we come back, we go out, we come back. Like, I have bookings like the next weekend, like this weekend, next weekend, and then the next following weekend, nothing, and then the next weekend again. So like in and out, in and out, in and out. During the school year, obviously, we have more work because we do play with schools. But it's been good. I can't complain. I feel like it's finally back. The touring schedule to what it was before the beginning of the pandemic, where we had like a full year lined up. So yeah, I can't believe it, but it's happening.
And do you like the pace of a tour? I mean, some people either love a tour or they hate it. Some people find it grueling, some people find it exhilarating.
I like being home also. So to me, the way that I'm describing, where we go in and out, and just 4 days, 5 days, a week, and then we come back, that works for me. I don't think I could do like, oh, I'm gonna be on tour for 6 months and then come back home. And
Ooh.
I'm a Cancer. I like being home and being cooking and what I mean. So I like that. I like coming back home and also having downtime to write and to talk to my plants and being with my husband and just being a regular person who's not trying to catch a plane every time.
Oh
So
my God.
it's
So you've
like
been
that.
you're in the US. You play some and you go to Mexico every now and again to see your parents. And do you play in Mexico when you're there?
I have played, but I haven't. I'm not playing this year. I'm hoping something will come up soon. It's hard to go all the way out there and like do one thing. So like what I'm planning to do there, it's spend get two or three cities maybe. I think that's what would make more sense. So we're working on that. But mainly it's in the U.S. where I'm playing all across the
Okay.
country.
And have you been over to the UK? Have you jumped the pond to the UK? Have you?
I have, but not with this
Oh,
band. With the
okay.
other band that I played before, we played there a couple of times, Australia a couple of times,
Oh my gosh,
Berlin.
that's a long flight time.
Yeah, it's a long flight. Yeah, but mainly in the US. I would love to bring this band to Europe too and to South America. We're working on it, trying
Oh,
to catch a good
I
flight.
believe you will make that happen
Yeah.
because there are people who love this music everywhere. Everywhere across the Latin diaspora, right? I would imagine.
And just like if it works here, I'll be honest, like we play for Latino audiences. Yes, we do, but a lot, most of our audience is mixed, or it's mainly just people from here who maybe some of them don't speak Spanish, or some of them are maybe trying to learn Spanish. And it works, you know, like people can connect to the music because it's just not language, you know, the melodies bring you in, the sing-along parts bring you in. And it's I feel like sometimes it's just nice to experience something we don't fully understand 100%, and it leaves a little bit of imagination and creativity, and you get to observe other things, and it makes you more tolerant and more connected to your community. So, if it works here, I'm sure it works other places. But yeah, we're working on something to go to South America too.
Oh, I love it. So when you're at the Schwarzman, do you get to teach a class? Like, what happens? Because I most times when they bring artists in, they get to go and work in the school or teach a class on the campus because there's students studying a particular thing and they want access, you know. So
Yeah, we do that a lot. We do that a lot. Sometimes we plan on these engagements, and there's like a school portion of it, either before the show or after the show, that's connected to it. Not in this case. We're getting there on Friday afternoon, and the show is on Saturday at 3 p.m. And so we only have time for sleep, sound check, wake up, do the show, and we'll come back to New York. I'm so excited to be there. It's our first time playing in Connecticut, actually. So,
Have you
and
been to Connecticut before?
I have not just to play, not with this. I mean, I've played there somewhere, but not with this band, and not with this special project. So I think it'll be exciting. We'll see what people in Connecticut hopefully they come out. It's a free show. Did we mention that? It's a free
Yes.
show.
Oh, listen. I work closely with the Schwarzman folks. I'm a fan of what they're doing since they've created this whole arts center, and so yes, they make their shows very accessible to the population. So they're free, and anybody can go. And I mean, students will definitely be there, but the community, surrounding community, could go. So yeah, I mean, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which you know, Sonia is very family friendly. You know, it's not 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? When you have little kids, it's hard to drag a kid to a concert at 7 if they're 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know, at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So, but the afternoon is nice.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's a great time, you know. I think maybe we should tell people what to expect if they come to the show.
Yes, tell people what to expect.
Well, expect to sing along, expect to be invited to dance and to be yourselves and to enjoy the music in whichever way that feels right for you. You're gonna sit down and listen. You can do that, but I'm probably gonna ask you to dance if you're able to, even in your seat. So I think it's you know, the world is changing so fast, and I feel like we should treasure these experiences where, you know, real people are playing real instruments live, 100% live. Everything you'll see is performed
Yes.
live. And just to show children also, like, you know, the beauty of that, you know, where I'm not just talking about my show, but just like experiencing live music in general. It's something that's not, it's irreplaceable, really. So technology is great for many things that make our lives easier, but in this case, I feel like it's a beautiful thing to come and do Saturday afternoon free show and just see what's out there and have a good time as a family.
I love that. Now, are any of your musicians playing traditional Mexican instruments or what is considered Mexican instruments?
Yeah, I actually play a guitar. It's like a small guitar called jarana, 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 and it's a Mexican traditional guitar. It's used to play a genre called son jarocho. Some people might be familiar with that. That's where La Bamba comes from, for example.
Oh,
La
okay.
Bamba is son jarocho, not the Ritchie Valens Bamba, but the original Bamba. So
Oh, we've
it's
got a bunch of bamba bands in town
yeah.
that dance and sing together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And anyway, so there's that. There's Argelia Reola, who is also from Mexico, is in the band, and she does beautiful zapateado dancing, which is like on top of a wooden platform. So it's a percussive dance. She plays this African cascas. Also, that's we've incorporated the donkey's jaw, which is used in Mexican music a lot and in Peruvian music a lot. Instead of an electric bass, we have a guitarrón, which is the bass, that big bass that you see in mariachi bands. So we have a guitarrón. We have Elena Lacayo, who's from Nicaragua, playing the guitarrón. We have Kika Parra on the drums. She's from New Jersey, New York, Colombian roots. We have our violin player is from Italy. Her name is Ludovica Burton, and a wonderful jazz saxophonist and clarinet player, Berta Moreno from Spain. So we're from all over the place, and
This is a big band, Sonia.
it's a sextet. I'm
Oh,
so lucky. I feel it's my favorite thing, you know, like when we get to be together and play our instruments, and it's just so good. I'm really happy with this project.
I'm so glad. I'm gonna try to clear my schedule so that I can at least make my way to the Schwarzman Center on May 11th at 3 o'clock, and check y'all out, because I think I am a huge fan of live music. Okay, so there's the
Yeah.
group.
There's the group. That's it.
This is a beautiful picture, by the way, and I thank your folks for sending it over. It's a
Oh, yeah.
beautiful picture. So, okay, so I see all the instruments that you named. I see it.
So that's the jarana. That's the guitar that I'm playing there.
Okay. All right. And so y'all look very festive and look like you are ready to do the thing. So I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I
Thank
love
you. I
it.
hope you can make it.
I
Yeah,
hope I can make
for
it too, because I never want to miss opportunities for live music. And when you get, renowned artists to come, it's a beautiful thing. So I am so glad that you are coming. And can I find your music on Spotify?
yes, you can. So I'm everywhere as Sonia de los Santos, Sonia with an I.
Okay.
SoniaDeLosSantos.com is my website. And if you go in all digital platforms, you can find our three albums, some singles, some music there. So, yeah, let us know what you think. We're in YouTube also. So you can find some of our music videos there from our album. So, yeah, please
So
support live music.
my producer had just whispered to me that we could finish with your song Esperanza.
Okay.
So I guess that means hope.
It does.
And,
It
all right,
does.
so tell me what is in that song, and what's the inspiration for that song?
Well, Esperanza is the title track of our third full-length album that came out in 2021. And at the time, I was like all of us, you know, sitting home trying to figure things out and trying to be positive and hopeful and that's where this song comes from, just seeing out there how lucky I was just to be alive and be here, but just also appreciating people out there, you know, moving the world and keeping us alive. So yeah, in the context of this show, we're playing that song, and in the context of that, it's I talk about what we talked about before, which was you know, it's great to have a six-piece women band. We've come a long way, but we've got a long way to go. So, you know, but today we're feeling hopeful about the future. So that's it.
That's a good message on a lot of levels, Sonia, because we are in some troubled times right now. And so wherever we can get hope, whether it's a song or a poem or something, we've got to hold on to it. So,
Exactly.
well, I so appreciate you. So Harry is gonna play your song. I so appreciated your time this morning. Thank you for this good amount of time to really sit and talk with you and unpack your music and what you're about to do.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you. And hopefully I'll see you on the 11th.
All
The
right.
11th, everybody. Y'all know how to go to the SchwarzmanCenter.org and look it up and make your plans. So thank you,
All
Sonia
right.
de los Santos.
Thanks,
Enjoy your
Beth.
day.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's never ever lose our hope.